Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat. I'll read the English. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. Nastapareshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati utamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. In loving service under the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Srimad Bhagavat ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. So we're reading from the 10th canto, first chapter, verse 8. Exciting to be able to start the 10th canto. Of the five principal, most important items of devotional service, Jiva Goswami says that hearing Srimad Bhagavatam specifically means the 10th canto. Not that the others are not important, but at some point, this is Krishna Leela. So, Rohinyas Tanaya Prokto Rohinyas Tanaya Prokto Rohinyas Tanaya Prokto Rama Sankarsanas Chaya Rama Sang sorry Rama Sankarsanas Chaya Rama Sankarsanas Chaya Devakya Garba Sambandha Devakya Garba Sambandha Devakya Garba Sambandha Kuto Dehantaram Vina Kuto Dehantaram Vina Kuto dehantaram vina. Rohinya. Of Rohini, the mother of Baladev. Tanaya, the son. Prokta is well known. Rama, Balaram. Sankarsana. Balaram is none other than Sankarsan, the first deity in the quadruple group. Sankarsan, Aniruddha, Pradyumna, and Vasudev. Dvaya, by you, it is so said. Devakya, of Devaki, the mother of Krishna. Garbha Sambandha, connected with the womb. Kuta, how? Deha Antaram, transferring bodies. Vina, without. Translation, my dear Shukadev Goswami, you have already explained that Sankarshan, who belongs to the second quadruple, appeared as the son of Rohini named Balaram. If Balaram was not transferred from one body to another, how is it possible that he was first in the womb of Devaki and then in the womb of Rohini? Kindly explain this to me. Prabhupada's purport. Here is a question particularly directed at understanding Balaram, who is Sankarshan himself. Balaram is well known as the son of Rohini, yet it is also known that he was the son of Devaki. Parikshit Maharaj wanted to understand the mystery of Balaram's being the son of both Devaki and Rohini. So we can repeat the translation. My dear Shukadev Goswami, you have already explained that Sankarshan, who belongs to the second quadruple, appeared as a son of Rohini, named Balaram. If Balaram was not transferred from one body to another, how is it possible that he was first in the womb of Devaki and then in the womb of Rohini? Kindly explain this to me. Om Ganita Marandasya Gananjana Shalakaya. Chakshurun Meditam Jina. Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual masters forcibly opening my eyes with the torch of transcendental knowledge. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Lagayate Ganim Yat Kripa Tamaham Mande Sri Gurum Dimitarinam. By the grace of the spiritual master. There's three things in another verse. I think there's two in this one. A lame man can cross the mountains. A dumb man, which is the operative point here, can recite poetry or the Bhagavatam. Bande Gurun Isha Bhaktan Isha Mishvatarakam Tat Prakasham Satach Dakti Krishna Chaitanya Samgakam Bande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Guru Dai Pushpavantau Chitra Sammanamodita. So, it's a very great honor to be with all of you, the lotus feet of Prabhupada. By the grace of the devotee, the grace of Prabhupada, of course, through his agents, Panchakota. God, I'm so bad on names. It always gets me in trouble. Your grace, it just completely escaped me. Thank you, Dharmatma. So I must have a little confession. I'm not really doing very well. But I really wanted to speak something. I had a bunch of things on the computer, but the mouse won't work, so c'est la vie, what to do. So I will try my best to explain some of the points. And really the two points here is the power of questions and the glories of Baladev, Balaram, which are unlimited, inconceivable. I will read a little bit, and I'm sorry if I I don't know if my voice will hold up, but I'm hopeful. To answer the question, there's just a few. I don't like to read too much. I don't know if that would help. Okay. Yeah, well, the problem is the tumor. Tumor's sitting on my tongue and on my ear. So I'm going to talk a little bit about myself. Little disclosure here, in death and dying, I can't help but talk about that since I've been facing that for the last 4 years. So this question in the second chapter, so Krishna ordered Yogamaya Balaram, well, they're not technically in the womb, but it appears that way by Yogamaya. So the seventh pregnancy of Devaki, that was Balaram, Sankarshan, and then Krishna ordered Yogamaya, quote, Anantasesha is in the womb of Devaki. It says he's forcibly attracted to the womb of Rohini. And the people in general knew it as a miscarriage. But on the order of Krishna, he was transferred to the womb of Rohini. So, in a way, you know, he kind of was in the womb. I'm not, the question, I didn't quite completely understand it. But I will say something that even in the world, it is said that the quality of our life depends on the questions that we ask. So when we really look at Maharaj Pariksha, how amazing, how much he wanted to understand Krishna. And according to Vishwanath, in the audience, and I just wanted to back up a little bit, a meditation. We can imagine ourselves, if you'll indulge me a little bit, like this picture. We can imagine ourselves on the bank of the Ganga, sitting in front of Sukadev Goswami with Maharaj Pariksha asking questions. So our time together is a little mini example of that. Even though the speaker may not be very qualified, but the speaker is empowered by the audience's inquisitiveness. And we see that in the verses ahead. There are seven questions that Maharaj Pariksha asks Sukadev Goswami. And Sukadev Goswami is very appreciative of the questions. He's very, I don't know, to use an overused word, ecstatic at the opportunity to glorify Krishna, glorify Balaram. I'm going to steal a little bit from the classes ahead, but he says, he glorifies him because of his questions. Best of saintly kings, because you are greatly attracted to the topics of Vasudeva, it is certain that your intelligence is firmly fixed in spiritual understanding, which is the only true goal for humanity. Because that attraction is unceasing, it is certainly sublime. So he says that Krishna Katha, three classes of people are purified: the speaker, the inquirer, and the hearer in descending order. That's why some devotees are very anxious to speak. You get a lot of mercy from speaking, and I encourage everyone in some form or another to give class, because we're always unqualified in one sense. But making the endeavor to speak about Krishna Katha is purifying. And preparing for class is like nothing else. When I was a brahmachari many years ago, like 40 years ago, some of my best times were when we'd sit in a circle and we would read a verse and a purport, give a little commentary, and hand the book to someone else. And we'd go like that for an hour. So in a way, everyone was giving a little mini class. Because you speak your realizations. You speak what you've understood about Krishna consciousness. And in this case, what we've understood about the appearance of Krishna, the appearance of Balaram. So Balaram, Nityananda Balaram, from an ordinary religious point of view, very difficult for people to understand the multifaceted aspect of God. You got Balaram, you got Krishna, you got so many incarnations, but we're worshiping the one God in multi-forms or emotional moments, we could say. Different aspects of divinity for different purposes. So, we can't conceive of that, although we may be known in different ways by different, according to our relationship. So according to the quality of our love, one way of speaking about it is the Lord manifests in a particular way, just like whether it's Christianity or Islam or the different Vaishnav sects who worship in awe and reverence, and our attempt to come to the stage of prema, unalloyed devotion, where we have a relationship with Krishna, and the awe and reverence is in the background, and Krishna's our friend, Krishna's our lover, we're a servant of Krishna. And we're meant to be charmed by that. We're meant to be, I mean, if you're an older devotee, you've probably read this Leela many times. Jai Gorni Tai Krishna Balaram Radha Shama Sundar Ki Jai. But how can we have the curiosity, the inquisitiveness of Maharaj Parikshit? Not that, I've heard that Leela before. So that we can actually enter into the Leela. And in our stage, at least to some extent, by, they call it in normal world, active listening. So you read and you try to think about what the meaning is. How what you're reading can help you in your spiritual practice. Otherwise, why are we sitting here? We want to, hopefully, we want to advance spiritually. You know, in the Gita, Krishna says, people have many mixed motives for taking up bhakti. However you come to Krishna is a good way. Whether it's inquisitiveness is pretty good, but maybe our economic situation. And usually it's a mixture of distress. And then a wise person, when you actually understand, I'm a servant of God, and this is giving me an opportunity to understand the highest aspect of divinity in pure love. So we come for many different reasons. So hopefully, in the course of our lifetime of practice, and Prabhupada said that, maybe in slightly different words, give this life to Krishna. So at my age, that's a little maybe more understandable than if you're a young man or a woman. Whole life. Of course, when I was young, I was pretty dull. I didn't have any questions. I was just in awe of everything. So Prabhupada said we should be independently thoughtful, look at the scripture from different angles of vision, think about it, pray about it. Really, our life, our whole life is meant to be a prayer. Please help me progress spiritually. Recently, I just wanted to bring it up. It's a little off topic, but we had Bhakti Chirmaraj left his body. And people were praying that he wouldn't leave his body. And when he did, there was a faith crisis of some devotees. And they're asking me, "What, you know, why did he have to die like that?" But for a devotee, any way you leave your body is auspicious. Arguably, we could say, well, we want the bedside scene, the kirtan, and the devotee departs. But best to pray, just like I have a lot of people praying for me over the last 5 years of dealing with cancer. But the best prayer is whatever's for your highest good. That's a safe prayer. You don't know. I don't know. I'm in between life and death in many ways. But, I mean, we all are. Really. You may die before me, and I'm the patient, the cancer patient. And you have to keep a sense of humor also. It's very important. I mean, so many things about the material world, I think, are just terribly... they're sad and they're funny at the same time. The whole material endeavor... it just seems crazy to me. You got to do certain things to get through the lifetime. That's okay. But when you're, you know, facing death in a real way, we're supposed to keep death in front of us. Like Maharaj Pariksit, he had 7 days. He was, we could say, there is that verse. I love that verse. It says, he's living for the welfare of everyone. Why did he have to give up his body, which was shelter for others? Well, obviously, to hear the Bhagavatam. That was a real gift for us, that he was cursed. There always has to be a protagonist, you know, in an exciting story. Just imagine if Prabhupada had just hopped on an airplane and come to America and immediately met with success. Of course, that would have been glorious too. But because he faced reverses, trials, tribulations, anxieties for his service, he is glorified more. If it was not for Hiranyakashipu, who would have heard of Prahlad? Who would never heard of him? Or even in Christianity, if it wasn't for Judas, Christ wouldn't have gone through what he went through, you know, resurrected or whatever. So in each one of our lives, we have to be tested, and maybe severely. So for me, this is the biggest test of my life, what I'm going through. I was never surrendered. I mean, I was a head pujari most of the time, so I have the bhav, but it's, in many ways, because of the service that I did around the world, worshiping deities, I got a lot of grace, I got a lot of mercy, and I still have deities, if you've seen my altar, Krishna Balaram. So, we don't want it. I didn't say, hey, I'd like to get a life-threatening disease, Lord, it'd be really good for me. I didn't say that, but I did say, because for many years I didn't pray to make progress. And then I started praying, please, let me make spiritual advancement, because I realized I had a good life, had the house in the country, had a lovely family, but I wasn't satisfied. And I realized that most of the time I had been a devotee, I was a casual devotee, a religious devotee, doing things, sadhana, but not jumping out of bed. I got to be Krishna conscious. I'm not saying be crazy, but we have to have a sense of urgency. We don't have to, but it would be beneficial to us if we have a sense of urgency in our spiritual practice. And Maharaj Parikshit, he's the example. He could have counteracted the curse, but he didn't. Because he said, in the womb, he saw Krishna, saved him. So he was always saying, where is that person I saw? So he, on some level, realized, now is the time to hear Krishna Katha and leave my body remembering Krishna. So, but if you're like me, I mean, I was here for a year, last time and this time since December. But because of my condition, I wasn't able to really hear and chant very much. And now, I just want to go lie down. Be honest with you. I think it's really important that we are all honest. Satam, the Bhagavatam is for those honest people. Satam, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm struggling with. And that we have confidential friends that we can reveal our heart to. Otherwise, how are we going to be helped? Devotees, we know how to look good. Got my tilak on. I'm a devotee. Hi, Bo. And we may be burning up inside, going to the whole program, and we're dying inside. And nobody knows because we don't reveal our heart. So the struggles are important. Go to the guru in doubt. So we want to pray for our highest good and for the highest good of others. And I can say that for the first time in my life, over the last, especially the last 2 years since I've been in Vrindavan, I have a little bit of understanding of surrender. There's no shelter, materially. I can't eat, hardly. It's misery to eat. I'm not saying to get your sympathy, I'm just saying. Whatever. It's painful to eat. I can barely, I'm like in the first canto, Dhritarashtra gets instructed by Vidura. You're hard of hearing, your liver's defective, you're living at the cost of people you tried to kill. So the position I'm in is like forced surrender. Okay, I hear you. You know, we talk about these things, but to actually have a little realization that there's no other shelter, nothing. We want association. That helps us. But like Prabhupada says, we have to fly our own plane. Draupadi program. Both hands, I'm yours, take me. More so the gopis who Krishna stole their clothes. They had to trust Krishna. It was like, we can't come out. But they had to do it. They had to surrender their village morality, everything. So as hard as it is what I'm going through, I know it's grace. Grace is not always embraces and, you know, good things, apparently. Can be tough grace, too. Krishna's embrace may be tough for us. But it's good. It helps us. If we want it. Otherwise, I could be bemoaning my fate. You hear that with people. Why me? I'm a good person. Well, why not you? We've been in the material world forever. We don't know our past. So we want to have a sense of urgency and to really understand Krishna, Balaram. What, in one sense, in Jiva Goswami's Priti Sandarbha, I think, he describes what's hinted at in the ninth canto, where Krishna's Leela is hinted about, that really the only reason Krishna comes is for the devotees. That's really the only reason. He can take care of the other people. The demons, the asuras. So And from another perspective, it's to facilitate the Leela, because it's sweeter here, actually. It's less Aishwarya even than in Goloka, in the replica here. Because in the material world, love is a fallen condition. And they seem to be going against Dharma. But, you know, material Dharma is basically Karmakanda. So we want Prem Dharma, Nam Dharma. So I love that. Jiva Doi Krishna Nam Sarva Dharma Sar. Bhaktivinoda says real Dharma is kindness to Jivas and the pure holy name. Hari Bol. So, for the first time in my life, I don't know, I'm not really embarrassed, maybe I should be, but I really want to represent the tradition. I want to know what is a Siddhanta. I realize that each one of us has to represent the tradition. We can point to some devotee or a guru or a Prabhupada, that's all good. But our character is preaching. Who we are as a person, that's preaching. So there's many different levels of that. It's your kind, loving, understanding. And according to your attraction to Krishna, you become detached from everything else. That's what it's at. And Krishna is very competent to get your attention, like with me. My wife, she couldn't come to India with me. She probably would have left her body before me because her health is not good. She functions pretty well. She counsels a lot of devotees, helps a lot of people. But she struggles with it. And when she's going through a tough time, she says, Krishna is sitting on me. Now it's like, okay, got my attention. So I said to her, not only is Krishna sitting on me, the coward boys and Balaram, and I'm on the bottom of the pile now. So it's a meditation that if we have a little sincerity, Krishna's going to devise, and Prabhupada, the means to help us come to a higher level of spirituality. But I like to say to devotees, what do you want? I say it every class because it's so important to know yourself in this body. Who are you? Yeah, we're not the body. And man, when you get older, all the wrinkles and the spots and the pains, but it's a temple of Krishna. And I want to honor it. I'm trying to take care of it. I'm trying to get better, or I'm trying to just say, okay, there's no more hope. So I have to be ready to leave my body at any moment. That's a good thing. But you see, at least for me, how difficult it can be when you're in a lot of pain and you're identifying with your body. It's just like, I can hardly even function. But I hear kirtan. I hear Indra all the time. That saves me. And I'm able to read. I love the philosophy, but I'm not a good Leela person. I'm not Dina Bandhu, who could have told you all the pastimes of Balaram. But I will say that one of the things I had written down, and I'm sure you've heard it, that Balaram has the plow, and that's to cultivate the field of our heart, to prepare the seed of bhakti, because the guru represents Nityananda Balaram. So we want to get the blessings of Nityananda Balaram, spiritual strength. I mean, every class and every... I do a lot of writing, or I used to. I'm not so much these days. We want it to be the best talk we've ever given. And what do we want? We want to somehow be a blessing. I mean, it sounds maybe vain or something, but what are your ideals? What are your highest ideals? I'm paraphrasing Prabhupada. He said, if you try for outstanding, you might come in first. But if you just try to get by, you may not. So people are in different stages of development. I've been doing this a lot, you know. You know, I don't like to make a big fuss, you know. Okay, I've been doing this for 50 years, but so what? I haven't been very, focused sadhaka, but I've always chanted and followed to my best ability. I like to say to people, a proper disciple just means I'm old, okay? Doesn't mean I'm advanced. I could be. But that's for you to ascertain. There is some etiquette, but I think it's Maya Angelou, she says, people will forget what you said, forget what you did, but they'll never forget how they made you feel. So it's a relative statement perhaps, but when we think of Prabhupada, of course we could say all three of those. What he said, what he did, how he made us feel. So to have that kind of impact on our audience, to be able to, from my heart to your heart, that's my prayer, that I can benefit the devotees. Vaishnav Seva is where it's at to me. And that's why I guess I am kind of bargaining with Krishna, but I'm not good at making deals, you know. But I say, you know, I'd like to be able to serve the devotees a little while longer, if you so desire. That's how we prayed for Prabhupada. Please cure Prabhupada if you so desire. So whatever way Krishna decides to do that is a good way. And I've also talked to disciples of Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Why did he have to die like that? So we don't know a person's consciousness. I've read a lot of near-death experience books because I've had one myself, and time slows down and it's possible to surrender and take shelter of Krishna before an accident. So we don't know a person's consciousness. We don't know the best way to die. We know the best way to live. We're trying to do that to the best of our ability, hopefully. So we have to always be praying for that. To think long term. How can I give this life to Krishna? That's a strategy we have to all figure out. We have to know ourselves, know our conditioned identity, make some strategy for getting through this lifetime, whether it's living in the ashram, being a grihastha, whatever. There's no impediments. Whether the grihastha life is a dark one or not is up to you. It's not a given. So we have to be, again, thoughtful, reflective people. Try to understand the nature of the Lord, how much He loves His devotees, that He comes for them and He expands in so many ways. I mean, really, these verses in the Gita have a new meaning for me. It's kind of like universal form a little bit, but Krishna is all things. We could say Balaram is too. There's no true superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. He's a taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the ability in man. And this one I really think about a lot. He's the life of all that lives. He's our very life. He's the Atma in one sense. We're one with Krishna and different, equally. So we're a small spark of the Lord. Trying to understand how, in the material world, we're trying to get the facilities of the soul through the material body. And it don't work very well. It doesn't work. And so when those facilities are withdrawn, Then, if we've lived our life hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna, then it's obvious what we should do with our consciousness. At least that's what I'm experiencing. And Prabhupada said also we should be fearless of death. I mean, there is no death for us. There's no death for the soul. Just change of body. So it's very interesting to think about. We have to be fully present. I mean, devotees of my era, we were very good at kind of repression. The body's horrible, it's terrible, it's, you know, blah, blah, blah. Without really understanding that we have to be fully present to understand our life lessons, what we must go through on the way to our surrender and love for Krishna. And again, we're in different levels of spirituality, we're in different ashrams, we have different desires, and sometimes you don't discover them until you're in your 30s. That's why, you know, being a sannyasi at a young age can be dangerous, because you haven't really understood the depth of your attachments. So I wore saffron, I'll say, I won't say I was a brahmachari, for 10 years. In those days, it wasn't so unusual. But at the brahmacharis, it was, you know, very kind of fanatic, negative perspective. But you have the negative impetus for bhakti is the misery. The positive impetus is the nectar of the lila, the nectar of the holy name. Devotee association. We can't associate with every devotee, but we have our group, hopefully. Group within the group. People that know us and love us and support us, and we can reveal our heart to. And we can do that for them. So, I'm kind of skating around the verse because I had all this stuff to talk about. And you think about in Ram Lila, we could say one of the reasons that Balaram is the older brother is that he was the younger brother in Ram Lila. And he said, I'm not going to do this again. I couldn't give him any advice. So he went, and of course, he's only slightly older, but Mother Yashoda gave him that ego, you could say. He's in the friendship, also parenthood and servitorship, Balaram. He's always with Krishna. As Anantasesha with Vishnu, he expands as Krishna's paraphernalia. I always think about that, doing artik, or washing the plates. This is Balaram. I love doing that. It's a nice meditation. It expands as the Dham, as our guru. So there's no part of Krishna Lila that Balaram's not involved in, directly or invisibly. So very important, Balaram, to try to understand him. So we can question ourselves how much we're interested in understanding this katha and the finer points. And we can pray to Maharaj Parikshit, Sukadeva Goswami, our gurus, of course, Prabhupada, that we can have a heart that's forever disposed towards loving devotion. That's what it's about. And with all the faults that we may have, or that devotees may have, that we're able to see the goodness in everyone. I mean, I try to do that. I try to respect everyone to my best ability, whether they're the chokidar or whatever. We're all souls having human experience. And my responsibility is to be kind, loving, understanding, giving. In Balaram, from him, Bhakta Abhiman, the ego of a devotee, comes from Balaram. That's what we want now. Like in the Gita, the 7th chapter, he says, until the contamination is washed off, we're more or less a non-devotee. That's why we're struggling until we get to the higher stages, until we're up to nishta, ruchi. It's a safe position where we're getting all of our joy and happiness from Krishna consciousness. I want to sign up for that, nothing else. At least we should have high ideals. We should know where we are and where we want to go, ultimately, and keep that in our heart for our whole life. And try to find a way that our life can be, like the 6 principles of surrender, can be favorable for bhakti, and that we'll be inclined to give up what's unfavorable for bhakti. So Balaram, what can I say, kind of skirted around his glories. I tried to put a few things. But I don't like to read stuff anyway, but I just wanted to give you a good dose of Balaram. But I'm very deficient, what can I say? But maybe you'll be inquisitive to know more. Maybe you know a lot. Probably know more than me. But I'm the older devotee, right? And I'm leaving. This is my last full day in Vrindavan. Everyone says you should die here, but I don't have the spiritual merit to leave my body here, in my opinion. And I'm just, the social isolation is killing me, you know? So, for whom the bell tolls. So, I was thinking of that question you asked the last time. You should come to Bhagavatam class. Well, I kind of answered it this time. It's that if we meditate on being there with Parikshit and Sukadev, and we realize that my contribution is that I want to hear. I want to get one thing at least, maybe two things, but at least one that's going to help me to progress spiritually. So if that happens every day, we're doing well. You know, I'm nobody in my opinion. But by the grace of Prabhupada, grace of our gurus, grace of the Lord, we may be an instrument. That's my aspiration. And that's why I came to try to speak, even though I'm kind of like Humpty Dumpty right now, you know? You know the nursery rhyme? He's on the wall. All the king's horses couldn't put him together again. But if I can get the grace transformation, then I can be put back together and do some more service. Because I've really, again, serving the devotees, appreciating them. I said this on the Prabhupada Memories, that the face of Prabhupada for me has always been his disciples. They were the first contact I had with Prabhupada, was his disciples. And I would extend that to any devotee. I don't make any distinction. Everybody else does. It's like, they go, oh, Prabhu! I said, man, I'm just trying to stay a devotee, you know. Oh, don't say that. So, we're very fortunate and blessed to be in Vrindavan. To take advantage of Vrindavan is another thing. So I'm praying and I ask for your prayers and blessings that my heart can be the abode of Vrindavan, Navadvip, my deities. Then my life's a success. And it doesn't matter where I am or where I die. Any questions? Yes, sir.
No, you were speaking that we should have understanding. So you were saying we should have understanding. So now whatever is happening, the understanding that we have, that whatever God is doing, we should be satisfied in that one.
Whatever situation we're in, we should be satisfied. Well, it depends. The basic 2 6 principles of surrender, accept what's favorable. I mean, it's kind of an open-ended question. Depends on your status of life. I mean, if we all practice that, we'd all be brahmacharis and brahmacharinis. We'd never get married. We just tough it out. So we have to be intelligent to think long term. And to the best of our ability, and if we have senior devotees we respect, the situation we're in could be the best for us, or it's possible that a change may be in order. It's really varied. I mean, for me, should I live or should I die? I don't know. You know? Should I stay in Vrindavan? Should I go to America? Should I? Whatever your situation is. But one thing we can say, at least in psychology, and my wife's a therapist and I work with her, self-acceptance is very important. Where you are. This is not talking about complacency. This is where I'm at. But this is where I want to be. And I'm focused on that. I'm praying for that. And I want that. That there's nothing else I'd rather have than Krishna consciousness. That, and we all have to look in our own heart and try to ask that. Because we can just, and I have been fully engaged in bhakti and not really praying to make progress. I was too busy. So it depends on your situation. Like a lot of questions like that. How do I surrender? Well, when I was a young devotee, doing the needful means whatever the authority said, that was doing the needful. For me now, it's whatever I need to get through this lifetime. So when we mature, we're going to have a broader perspective of what we need, what's important to us, what will get us through this lifetime. So, I hope that's okay.
Thank you.
But I'm so grateful to you all. I don't even have the words to say. Just seeing you, getting to try to talk and connect heart to heart, soul to soul. Wow. And being able to be here for a while. Maybe I'm not, a bridge bossy, but a year and a half's not bad. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Shri Gaur Nityananda ki jai. Radha Shama Sundar ki jai.